because he knew you had made up your mind. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord today. You had been invited over and over. And today you just made up your mind that you were going to be here. And God got excited because he has something special for you. He wants to bless you. If you'll open your heart and your mind to the word of the Lord. I have with me here today, found out that he was going to be coming down, Pastor Dale Beebe. I told my daughter your last name. We was in the car and she said, Beebe. She's like, Beebe, like two B's back to back. I said, well, I think there's a couple of E's in there somewhere. It's like B-E-E-B-E or something like that. I said, but it's Beebe. And this great man of God rescued your pastor years ago when I was in college and had found myself in some difficult situation. At the time, he was only 19, I guess. I mean, we were just 19, 20 years old walking around college campus. While I was in college, he was already a successful businessman. And I went to work for him. He spoke into my life, gave me clarity and direction, gave me a great place to come and worship God in the church where he attended, a great pastor there, Brother Chance, and met his wife. I saw the kids. I don't think Candace and Caleb, yeah, their boys Caleb as well, but they weren't even born. Yeah, y'all weren't even thoughts. But Corey and Cole and Corey and Cole. I can't remember my own kids' names, so certainly don't expect me to remember yours. And those rats were running around in diapers. And one of them is now assisting Brother Hattaball in South Florida. And the other one with you is with Dad. There are only three men that outside of this assembly that pastor considers to be dear friends, confidants, people that I can speak to and never, ever, 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 ever worry about it being repeated. And one of those three men that I am a confidant and a friend with and vice versa is this man. So when he was coming, I asked him to come. He's been pastoring in, you told me the city name, Greer, South Carolina. I know you think I would know all of that, but I can't even find West Palm when I go out of town, so don't worry about that either. He's been there for as long as I've been here, 19 years, going on 20 years. They're celebrating their 20th year at their church as well. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, he's been married longer. I think you've been married like 45 years. Y'all close to it? 30 years. Really? 30 years. Wow. She was like 12 and he was 13 or something. My wife and I, later after our marriage, and my wife also got to meet Brother and Sister Beebe and fall in love with this couple. So the man that I bring to this pulpit to minister to us today is very special to your pastor. And I want you to receive him in that fashion. He is a great man of God, and if it wasn't for him, I may not even be standing before you. Will you welcome Pastor Dale Beebe to the pulpit?
Come on, let's turn that into praise to Jesus. Let's give it all to Jesus here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place right now. Lord, I pray for miracles and signs and wonders. We leave here today. I don't care if anybody knows my name. I want everybody to know your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We don't get the opportunity and haven't had the opportunity to come this way up until now. It may be another 20 years before I come back by. So I'm going to at least make a few comments. But I feel such a warmth, the presence of the Lord. When I walked in, the hostess that greeted us was so kind. She did it just right. She asked me to fill out a visitor's card. And I almost did until I told her I was the guest speaker. And that the pastor knew who I was. And that worked out. But everything is just great. Y'all have a tremendous church. You already know that. But don't you know you got a great pastor and pastor's wife and family? Amen. I actually know a lot about Brother Kyle. He's been such an inspiration to me. And I really could get him to give me as much money as he's got right now. I'm sure of it. But I'm his friend. He's been my friend. We're the only people that ever get with the Kyles at General Conference every year and ride around until we decide there's no place open to eat and we go back to our hotels and just fast. And we do that. We've done that a few times, it seems like. Amen. I'm glad to be with the Kyles, and they're Caleb and Hannah and Luke and Joel. And did I say it right? Hey, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm starting to work in the gifts a little bit. The Lord just revealed some things to me. He revealed me to write these things down. I am so glad to have the most lovely, most beautiful, the most outstanding person on the planet with me who happens to be my wife. God loves me more than anybody. I'm so glad to have Sister Bebe with us. Stand up, honey. And Caleb and Candace, would y'all stand? I'm not asking you to sing, but would you welcome my family? They are just awesome. They are the best. Amen. I know I have got to hurry because I have got to squeeze this two-hour message into 45 minutes. And I don't know how I am going to follow Brother Scott Graham, one of the best preachers in Pentecost. Please forgive me. And just maybe God's mercy will fall. I told the pastor I will try not to embarrass him today. I truly do honor him. I'll just tell you one quick story, and this is a good story. And if you'll see me after church, it depends on who gives me the most money. I've got some other stories. Hallelujah. Sister Denise, good to see you. Amen. We went to Israel together here some times back. Sister Bebe and I went with her. Amen. And by the way, I just got to say, Brother Kyle, I will say this. You married way up like I did. You did real good. I love Sister Kyle. Amen. But Brother Kyle, I remember, and I'll try not to get too emotional when I start thinking and talking about home. But I remember we were having a young minister's rally. And we were going to have the pastor, Brother Chance, was going to allow all the young ministers of the section to take about 10 minutes. You remember that? You know, you remember that. Have mercy. And somehow we drew names or numbers or whatever. And Brother Kyle went first. And he set the stage. I think it was about 12 or 13 of us. And maybe someone went before him and got up and read a text and talked a couple of minutes. And everybody kind of applauded and said, wasn't that sweet? Wasn't that nice? And then Brother Kyle, and this was when we were young, 19, 20, 21. He took the mic and he reared back and he preached then like he preaches now. And we're going, oh my God, what is going on? He knows how to preach. And he truly is someone that I have aspired to be like. And I remember getting up behind him, trying to preach like him and act like him. I'm not left-handed, but I tried to be left-handed that night. I tried to do everything. Amen. He is one of my dearest, closest friends, and we appreciate the friendship with the Kyles. Give Jesus another hand clap. I've got to hurry. I feel so in the presence of the Lord. I'm so in the will of God here this morning. Thank you for the privilege this afternoon for this opportunity. Would you stand together with me? Psalms 34. If I've ever Felt like I was preaching what I needed to preach today. I'm hitting right on it. All the songs, it's been confirmed, said so many times. Psalms 34 and 1:2 and 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I'm simply going to preach on this thought today, the incredible power of praise. The incredible power of praise. How many knows that when we begin to praise, we can sing that song, freedom, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondages. Anybody been set free? Hallelujah. I just tell you right now, the only reason I haven't shouted until I had no more energy this morning already is because I realized the other day I went out jogging with my boys. And I decided, I said, now we go up to this point and turn around and you come right back this way. He said, yeah. I said, y'all go ahead. I'll be waiting for you when you get back about halfway. Hallelujah. I realize I don't have quite as much stamina as I once had. And so I had to preserve a little bit. But I'm here to tell you, I love to praise the Lord. I love to shout. I love to dance. I want to be like David. I want to give it all. I want to give it my all. Somebody said, why do you act that way? You ought to turn to them like David said. You ought to wait till next time I praise the Lord. You ought to wait when the Holy Ghost begins to move. Before we leave here today, I believe this place is going to go up in smoke because of who he is, because of the power and the glory of God. Pray together with me. Jesus, I need your help. I ask your anointing upon my mind. Thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. Help me, Lord, to do my very best for your glory, for your purpose, that someone would be impacted by your word. Amen. Someone would leave here changed forever throughout eternity. Come on, somebody give me a shout of praise unto the Lord. Help us shout. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I told Brother Kyle, if they put me down on the floor, y'all won't be able to see me at all. Hallelujah. Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am. And I'll praise him while I can. I'll praise him at all times. Hallelujah. I vow to praise him through the good and the bad. Boy, I better not start singing. I'm going to praise him, the happy and sad. I'll praise him for all that I go through. Come on, help me, everybody, because praise is what I do. And I owe it all. Come on, we owe it all to him. We owe it all to you, Lord. Come on, it doesn't matter about your circumstance. It doesn't even stand a chance. Hallelujah. Come on, you ought to praise him today. I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the lawyer said. I wish the people of the Lord say so. Let the church say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. David kept his father's sheep. Hallelujah. Let me help you out, young people. Amen. It's so easy to praise today. Amen. It's so easy, all of us today, in an atmosphere like this. But David didn't learn to praise on a stage. He learned to praise in a pasture. Amen. He learned to praise with just no one around but him and the sheep and God. Amen. I'm here to tell you, it's great to praise the Lord in the house of God. But sometimes you're going to have to praise him when there's nobody around. It's just you and God. You're not sure what's going on. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to say, Lord, I'm going to praise you at all times. Your praises will continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, God will promote you when the time comes. I find it so interesting how God took David and anointed him to be king. But David didn't know anything about being a king. He only knew about being a shepherd. But I'm here to tell you, while Saul was having demonic spirits come upon him, amen, somebody said, I know somebody that knows how to touch God. I know somebody who knows how to worship and knows how to praise. Amen. They would bring him into the palace and sit him at the feet of the king. And he would sit there and ward off those evil spirits, and Saul would get relief. But while David sat there all day, you know what he was doing? He was learning how to be a king. Don't worry about when you're going to get to preach. Don't worry about when it's your turn to, amen, to do this or do that. You learn how to be a praiser. You learn how to, you have a relationship with God. You walk with the Lord. Amen. God will raise you up in due season, in due time. Hallelujah. I don't have time to cover all of my notes or go through it like I'd like to. Amen. But let me just tell you how awesome David. I love David. We talk about the praises. We've sang about David and praises all day today. He wasn't the smartest person at sometimes. He made a few crazy mistakes. And one of those mistakes was one day he looked for refuge, amen, with the king of Gath. And he said, I'm looking for refuge. I'm trying to hide. I've got to get away from Saul. And so he goes right into where the king, amen, that once was the king of Goliath. That's right. And they began to say, is that not David? Whom they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. It's like a gunslinger that came into town. And all the young guys said, see the old gunslinger over there? Whoever takes him out, his name will go in the record books. And so they got to talking about it. Said, you know, whoever kills David will become famous in the land of the Philistines. And they begin to talk about, who's going to kill David? He's here by himself in our camp. I don't advise you to go into bar rooms. I don't, unless it's the Holy Ghost and your pastor with you. Amen. I don't advise you to walk into crack houses and say, bless God, we're about to have revival in here. It better be the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here David has walked into this place with the enemy. I'm not talking about with soldiers and army. I don't even know if he had a slingshot. And they said, let's kill him. It reminds me what happened. We saw this on YouTube every year at graduation. I always like to do this. Has anybody ever seen that on YouTube at the prayer at the graduation? And the young lady begins to pray. She has to be apostolic. And behind there's all these men in these robes and all these fancy, you know, whatever they are. You know what they are. You graduated, I think. And when she began to pray over that Colosseum, the Holy Ghost hit her. And she began to shake and dance, and she began to speak in tongues. I wish the cameras would have scanned the audience, because I'd like to have seen what the audience was doing. But all these doctors and these men that were standing behind her, they began to walk over. And she hit the ground talking in tongues, praying over that Colosseum. And one man said, somebody call 911. I'm here to tell you, church, the world don't know what to do with all this. But I don't really care what the world thinks. Because when I begin to praise, and when I begin to shout, when I begin to dance, no shackles on my feet so I can dance. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, has anybody here ever been delivered of drugs? Is there anybody here ever been delivered of sin? Is there anybody here ever been delivered from the powers of darkness? And he called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. The Bible said, I won't take out the time to read it, but the Bible said that he feigned himself mad. But if you'll study the true meaning of that, it means he began to worship as though they thought he was mad. And David began to praise the Lord. And they said, we don't know what to do with this. The only thing that saved David from the enemies, and while he was in the throne room of the king of the children of the Philistines, as he began to praise, they said, he must be crazy. I don't care what the world says about me. I want to know what God has to say about me. I'll tell you what, the anointing of God came on him. him. They said, just get him out of here. Just get him away from us. Come on, church. We got to learn how to praise. There's something incredible. There's something amazing. Amen. There's something awesome about the power of praise. Hallelujah. Psalms 51. I know this is going to take a minute. Have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness. Amen. According to thy multitude and thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. You know what? Praise, where it really begins. It begins in a prayer room somewhere. Come on, you just can't clap your hands. You can't just pat your foot. You can't just shout. Amen. All that exterior won't do any good if it don't start in a prayer room. Amen. But David started somewhere. Amen. In the backside of somewhere when nobody was around. Amen. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is forever before me. Against thee alone I have sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou hast, amen, thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in the iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in my inward parts, in hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me skip a little bit. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure in Zion. Build thy walls. Amen. Let me just stop and tell you what David goes on to say. Lord, if you'll let me live. Lord, if you'll let me live, I'll praise you. 14 months ago, I was out doing my jog run. Amen. I always like to exercise. If I didn't exercise, I'd weigh 400 pounds. Amen. They got to change the statistics. The other day, I went out and I ran my 3.5 miles. And I said, they cannot call me fat any longer because fat men cannot run 3.5 miles. I don't know if it was a run. It was a jog. I wasn't walking. That running to me is when one foot is in the air at all times. And I don't know how fast I was going. 14 months ago, Brother Kyle, I was out on my jog walk and I began to have tremendous chest pain. I looked over and the place that I was at had a lot of kudzu. And I thought, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to die right here. I'm going to fall in that kudzu and no one's going to find me till I start stinking. And I know that may sound a little humorous, but it wasn't humorous at the time. And as I was walking, I said, Lord, I want to live. I said, my oldest son is about to have their second baby who is now 9 months old. And he's my little buddy. His name's Logan. And I have 2 grandbabies. I know I look way too young for that. As he said, I got married at 13. Somewhere along there. And I said, Lord, I'd like to see my grandbaby born. I said, I'd like to, Cole's about to get married. I'd like to see him married. And Lord, of course, my son Caleb is a little older than my daughter Candace. And Lord, I'd like to see my children grown. And I'd like to walk my baby girl down the aisle when she's 40. And so, and I said, Lord, would you let me live? Would you let me live? Brother Kyle, I made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, if you'll let me live, I'm going to praise you. David said the grave can't praise you. There's a few graves out here. I can see why graves don't praise. Because you know what a grave, you know what a rut is? It's just, you're just laying there with both ends knocked out. You're already in a grave. But if you say, Lord, I will praise you. If you let me live. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. I'm here to tell you, I made a deal with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise him to my last breath. I'm going to praise him with all of my heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came home from that walk, jog. I made it home, and I told my wife, I won't do that any longer until I go to the doctor and find out something's wrong. Took us 45. Hallelujah. I don't know if I should say that. Is this being recorded? All right, edit that out. 45 days later, I had insurance. Up to that day, I was on the treadmill every day up to 1.5 to 2 hours. When I went in, the doctor said, everything looks great. Everything looks normal. There's nothing, your triglycerides, your cholesterol, everything. I don't have time to go with all. He said, I'm like, great, I'm going home, I'm fine. He said, but you keep talking about this chest pain. We better go and do a heart cath. Went and did the heart cath. And while I was still in recovery, he went out to tell my wife, I don't even know how your husband is alive. He has 4 clogged arteries. One of them is 100% clogged. One's 95% clogged, one's 90% clogged, and one is 80% clogged. When I went back for my 3-month checkup, he said, any one of them could have killed you or should have killed you. He said, I had no idea how you were alive. Could somebody help me figure out why I'm standing here today? I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. Hallelujah. I made a deal, Lord, if you'll let me live. I'm going to praise him. Glory. We had a prophet in our church last week. We had one of the best revivals just prior to coming here. Amen. Spending time with Colin Rocio. Amen. Who's on staff for Brother and Sister Hadaball. And just prior to that, we had like 80 first-time visitors in 8 days, or 80 visitors in 8 days. Tremendous miracles. I've never told anybody my concern. I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm just trying to figure out the future. And I was telling my wife here about a week and a half ago, honey, I just don't know how long I'm going to be around. I just don't know what the future holds. And I guess I wish I knew. Amen. But the prophet, while he was preaching, turned over and said, listen, quit talking about when you're going to die. The Lord just spoke to me. He said, you're going to live to be about 95, and you're going to be all right. You know what? I claim that. So I'm just going to go ahead and plan to praise God. Hallelujah. Till I'm 95. You know what? If he takes me today, I'm going to go out praising. Hallelujah. But I'm going to praise him all the days of my life. You know why? Because the shackles fall off of you. Ask Paul and Silas. Amen. The next thing you know, it falls off the ones around you. You know, the gates opened up to that jail cell and nobody left. If you ever figured it out, the Holy Ghost anointing came down and nobody wanted to leave. I'm here to tell you, those that will praise God, if you keep praising God, those around you will start feeling what we're feeling. Nobody will want to go home. Woo! I went back to the doctor 3 or 4 months, and I'm going to move on. I went back 3 or 4 months later. They said, I can't even believe. I'll tell you what, 5 weeks and 3 days later, it was May the 26th last year. Cole got married 5 weeks and 2 days later. Brother Hadaball had me preach Sunday morning and Sunday night at that wild church over there, like this church. Amen. You know what I was doing 5 weeks and 3 days later after triple bypass surgery? They was able to correct 2 of those bypasses, or those clogged arteries with 1 artery. Amen. You know, I was preaching 5 weeks and 3 days later, and I hadn't looked back. Everybody said, I can't believe you even had surgery. I said, it was just a quick 3-week nightmare, and I'm living for God. I don't have time to worry about that. I'm going to live for the Lord. It's time to have revival. Is anybody else in here? I'm just telling you my story. But you got a story. And you've got a reason. You've got a right. You've got a right to praise the Lord. You ought to take advantage. We're teaching a Bible study right now to an Egyptian family. You won't get this on American video, but it was sent over here from Egypt the other day. And while we were in his house, he had someone from Egypt send this to him. He said, let me show you what happened to a man who was a Muslim that said, I just want to be a Christian. I'm not talking about this kind of Christian. I'm just talking about the kind of Christian, Brother Kyle, that says, I believe in Jesus. I want to live for him. They bound him in the street and they took a knife and slit his throat and sawed his head off and held it up. The most gruesome thing I've ever seen about 5 days ago. Amen. They cut his head off because he simply just wanted to be a Christian. And some of you hadn't clapped your hands one time. Amen. Some of you haven't got out of your chair one time. Some of you haven't lifted your voice and you've got the truth, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God in this place. Ha! You go ahead and sit there. Woo! I'm going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise the Lord while I can. Well, glory. Hallelujah. You know what my theme song was before I even found out about this? They said, I came in for that checkup, and they said, there's things wrong with you. Amen. They said, you shouldn't be on the treadmill. I said, I was on it 2 hours yesterday. They said, that could have killed you. You know what I've been singing all day? I didn't even know that they was going to tell me that. I was going around singing, I'll be up again. Just you. Wait and see. Tough times won't keep me down. They'll just send me to my knees. There while I'm in prayer, God will give the victory song. I'll be up again where I belong. Come on, somebody ought to be on your feet today. Somebody ought to be exalting the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody ought to, if you would only understand the incredible power of praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Man, we are having an incredible revival. I feel like the Lord has told me he's honoring our 20 years of service there in Greer, South Carolina. And I love South Carolina. I feel like God has called me there to make a difference. And I appreciate that opportunity. And we're just seeing tremendous growth and revival. Just this year we've seen probably more growth, more people coming to church. Just financial miracles and all sorts of things that God is doing for us. Had a young man start going to our church just about 3 months ago. A lady took him in. She knew about his situation. Nobody pretty much would take him in. She took him in. He's 18 years old. And got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. And came to me and asked me would I go to the court system with him. We went to the court system. It got postponed till Tuesday of this past week. He was facing 6 felony charges. Each one of them carried a sentence of about 3 years. He was looking at 18 years of prison. It was this past Wednesday he was going because it was Tuesday night, the night before the last night of revival. The prophet, knowing nothing about it, walked up to him. He said, I feel like, he said, if you will praise God, you will not be incarcerated. He said, I see something. He said, you'll be set free if you'll just praise God. He began to praise God. Brother Winslow did not know anything. By the way, after church that night, we went out to eat at Applebee's. And I said, by the way, I've got to go to court in the morning with that young man. He's facing 6 felonies. We went that morning, and the time before I went with him, he was the first name called. They said it's a continuance. I thought that wasn't so bad. But this day it was different. It was all day. We was there at 8:30, and by 12:30, there was another young man that was being tried at the same time he was. His lawyer didn't show up. The detective that was to testify on the case had been transferred. They went back to a room and told Josh, said, if you'll plead guilty to these felonies, Josh said, well, I'll do 6 months time. I said, Josh, do not plead guilty to any time. Do not plead guilty to any time. Finally, the DA, and they was wishing it was a different DA. the DA that was the tough one turned and said, look, he showed up, you're here. That guy's lawyer didn't show up. He said, why don't we just drop all of his felonies to misdemeanors? Come on, I'm here to tell you today, it wasn't just for Josh Bright the other day. Somebody ought to praise God. I'm not talking about shackles and chains and real bars and physical bars, but there are some people here today that's bound way more than Josh was going to be bound. But if you'll praise him today, if you'll exalt him today. Yeah. Josh testified Wednesday night. He was put on probation till September the 12th. He has to pay an $850 fee. They said, can we transfer him to South Carolina? The judge read this letter from someone that had given him a letter. Said, you can't be transferred from North Carolina prison system to the South Carolina. She said, I'm going to do it. She said, bailiff, come here in the back. Or she said, the man in the back who does the probation officer, can we transfer him to South Carolina? I don't even know how she did it. He said, you're transferred to South Carolina. And you know what? You go back there by your pastor. And she said, you know what? I want a letter from your pastor that states you got to go make sure you're clean. And he's been clean. He said, you make sure that pastor brings that you have worked 48 hours for a nonprofit organization or for him. And you make sure that pastor looks after you. I told him, I'm going to give it to you on September the 12th. I'm going to work your hide the next, amen, between now and then for 48 hours. Amen. But he got all scot clean. He'll be completely clean with no felonies come September the 12th. Come on, somebody tell me that my God can't do anything. He got in less trouble. My son Cole, amen, that's right here in Cooper City. He got a speeding ticket going through Georgia. I recommend never go through Georgia. Don't slow down when you go through Georgia. Just don't even go through Georgia. Just go around it, don't even fly over. You might land in it somehow. They gave him a ticket. It got mixed up in the mail. He had to be on. He got more trouble over a speeding ticket than this young man did over six felonies. Amen. I'm telling you, if you begin to praise God, there's something incredible about the power of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, Psalms 5 and 11 says, shout for joy. Psalms 47 and 1 says, oh, clap your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me tell you one more quick little story. Then we're going to invite everybody. What an altar call. What an altar area. So what an altar space. You can get in here. We can get everybody in here. It just blows my mind, Brother Kyle. What an awesome church you have. But if I can say this, because I'm getting out of Dodge here in a little while. What are we doing here, by the way? Look at this young man. Give God glory for whatever that. Are we raising funds for something? Oh, Lord. My Lord. My sweet wife went with me on an Alaskan cruise here just a few years back. She lived with me so many years, I figured she deserved it. And I call the Alaskan cruise the Apostolic Pentecostal cruise. Even in July and August, it's so cold, you still have to wear clothes. I recommend that cruise. I don't know about somebody said, I'm going to the Bahamas. My God, have mercy. You want to go to heaven? I went to the Florida Keys yesterday. Sodom and Gomorrah is not very far from here. It's my first time there. I was following someone else. They took a wrong turn. We walked through Sodom. It was horrible. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My God, what kind of world do we live in? Come on, saints of God, it's time we stand up and say, hey, we're not going to put up with all that. We get on this cruise ship. Before we go, I told somebody, please forgive me. My wife tells me not to tell this part, but I was so carnal, Brother Kyle. I felt like I must have been like Jonah because I said, I'm not even going to take my Bible this week. I was going to try to go on vacation without my Bible. The Lord showed me. In fact, one lady said, she prophesied. She said, Pastor, if it's in you, it's going to come out of you this week. I said, not this week. I'm going on a cruise. I told a few folks, I'm not ashamed of being a pastor or a saint of God. We didn't go put on our swimsuits and Speedos and all that stuff. We didn't do that. But what is a Speedo anyway? I just heard somebody say that. And I told some people on the plane over there that I was a pastor, and we mentioned it. But anyway, about the fourth night, I guess it was a 7-night cruise, about the fourth night of the cruise, this very sweet young lady came, and she didn't even work in this section. In fact, we sat every night with the accountant of the mayor of Denver. And so it was the week that we were going to pretend to be, well, not rich and famous, not even famous, but we was going to pretend to be a little rich. So, I'm getting richer though. And this sweet young lady came from Trinidad, who was from Trinidad that was working on the boat. She came up with broken English, and she probably recognized that I was a Christian because she recognized that my wife was a Christian. She just said, are y'all Christian? And I said, well, matter of fact, we are. In fact, I'm a pastor. She said, oh, pastor, it is so awesome because tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, after everyone has finished their shift, at the bottom of the boat, there's a little room that we have set aside. And we have church. Would you come and preach for us? Don't clap. You're not going to like what I told her. I got to be honest with you. I don't want y'all to think that I was all this because I said, I'm on vacation. And to be honest with you, I didn't know if she had the authority to invite me. And what other excuse did I come up with? I didn't have my Bible. She said, we'll see. And so she said, okay. So the next night, eating at the same spot, about 9:30, here she comes. She said, Pastor, are you going to preach for us? I said, no. Thank you for the invitation. And then Brother Kyle, she looked at me and she said, but Pastor, I feel like you have a word from God. I told my wife, it was about 9:30. I said, you stay with this couple. I'm going to go check it out. I'll go meet the leader. I figured the leader, after he found out I was apostolic, would say, you know, we had something else planned tonight. We had just helped Corey move in. It was his first year at Gateway, fourth story, carrying luggage and furniture. And literally by this time, my back was knotting up. My back was hurting. It was at the apex. I could not hardly stand. I go and I walk in and I'm giving every excuse. I sound like Moses. He said, yes, Pastor, we're expecting you. Could you preach for us tonight? I said, my back hurts. I don't have a Bible. I'm on vacation. He said, but please use one of these other Bibles here. English is all of our second language and we don't understand the King James. And I said, well... we'll see. Well, I'll do something. So I went and I grabbed one of those Bibles and started jotting down some notes. 16 people piled in. One guy grabbed a guitar. They began to sing. I couldn't stand. I was sitting at the table, and for an hour and a half, guess what I preached? Anybody want to take a guess? I preached the oneness of God, Acts 2:38, baptism in Jesus' name, and then filling of the Holy Ghost. I told a few stories about people that I had personally witnessed, that I taught Bible studies to, that I had prayed for, and they'd gotten the Holy Ghost. And I simply said, while I sat there, is there anybody here that would like to have the Holy Ghost? And if you would, if you'll just stand up and start praising the Lord. Amen. There were 16 people there. There was about 8 or 9 different nationalities there. I've never seen anything like this in my life, Brother Kyle. All 16 people stood up to their feet. And they raised their hands. And tears started streaming down their face. And I forgot all about my back. And I stepped out on those chairs. And I started walking those chairs. After about the third row, I stopped somebody. I said, sir, do you know what you're saying? He said, no, I don't know what I'm saying. I didn't know. I prayed for somebody else. And they were getting the Holy Ghost in that room. Amen. 4 or 5 people got the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about it's way after midnight by now. I prayed for their leader. His name was Albert. Albert hit the floor. We got him up. Later I said, Albert, why did you do that? Because he heard me tell stories about people that I prayed for that hit the floor. He said, I thought it would help me get the Holy Ghost. I said, anybody want to be baptized in Jesus' name? I said, Albert, we got a place. He said, we have an indoor pool on the top of the ship. Well, he said, who wants to be baptized? Nobody want to be baptized but Albert. I said, that's okay. We got the leader baptized. He can baptize the rest. Well, I'm just glad they didn't throw me overboard. I'm glad I put out the Bible. I'm glad I began to preach. Jeremiah said, I'm not doing this no more. But then he said, oh, it was like fire shut up in my bones and I could not contain it. I baptized Albert. I went back to the room to change. My wife said, my Lord, it's 1:30 in the morning. Where have you been? I should have said, honey, I just lost everything. I've been in the casinos all night. I said, baby, we've been having church. Amen. There were 16 people showed up. I've never seen anybody worship and shout like that. Amen. 4 or 5 got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to baptize their leader. She said, you're kidding me. I said, give me that camera. Amen. I video camered him. He testified before I baptized him. He testified when he came out of the water praising God. Come on, musicians. Hurry, musicians. Hallelujah. When I got home, I preached on highlights. They thought I was going to show them whales and ice, whatever, ice glaciers and stuff. And I said, I'm going to show you some highlights of our trip.
Anybody else want to give to this preacher before they collect this? Come on, some of you out there, let's sow seed into Brother BB's ministry. God bless you.
So they thought we were going to show them some film of our trip, and when they did, it was. And first thing it was is, thank you, Pastor BB, for baptizing me in Jesus' name. For the next 3 days, we were walking around. Somebody said, hey, Pastor, we had church with the captain the other night. He said, why weren't you there? And old Albert was standing there and said, hey, he was having church with us. And he baptized me in Jesus' name. He went around telling everybody, he baptized me in Jesus' name. Albert wasn't just anybody. He was in charge of every spoon and every fork and every knife, every plate and every cup. Amen. He was in charge of every dish on the ship. Could you imagine a responsibility like that? He didn't touch any of them. He was in charge, amen, of that over the entire ship. He had tremendous influence. And he was telling everybody how he had been baptized in Jesus' name. We're sitting in the library. It's the last night. We've been doing Bible studies for 3 days. I'll just tell you, I finally got relaxed. I finally got into my wife said, honey, you can't even calm down. You can't relax. I'm a little bit like your pastor. I'm kin to him somehow. And When we got to having church on that ship, I was at home. We're in a library. I'm talking about a glass. I'm talking where people can see. And I said, Albert, this is the last night. I just wanted to pray for you. We were taking pictures. I was signing things. I felt like the Pope or something, man. I reached across that table and I prayed a little simple prayer. And I went to let go, but Albert didn't let go. Yeah, you know what happened. He did finally let go when he lifted his hands and started talking in tongues on a cruise ship. It's incredible when you begin to praise Jesus. I called headquarters. I called Brother Hanscom, said, I've started a new church. I have a new congregation and I need y'all to sponsor me. I got to check on them at least once every 6 months. Psalms 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Come on, you know it. Say it with me. Praise him in his mighty acts. And praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Just let the few praise the Lord. Just let the pastor's family praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How about let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Come on. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would talk in tongues. We ought to make this whole auditorium a prayer room one more time. Come on, if you have a financial need, if you have a physical need, if you have needs in your family, if you need the Holy Ghost, there's something incredible that begins to take place. The incredible power. Amen. When we begin to praise the name of Jesus, for neither is there salvation in any other. Come on, I know it's late. I know you've been having church the last 2 or 3 days. Has anybody got enough strength to come one more time? If you need your miracle, while they begin to sing right now, would you come worshiping and praising the Lord? Come on, reach over and pray with somebody. Bring somebody with you. Come on, let's worship the Lord.
Freedom, 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 come on, say freedom. praise team. No music. I need to hear the church say, no more shackles. Come on. I need to hear everybody say it real loud. No praise team. No music. No. Man, that sounded good. Come on. Last time, Jesse. No more shackles.
No more shackles.
No more shackles. No more bondage. I am free.
Y'all sound like a bunch of free people. If you believe it, say hallelujah.
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 Can set you free like Jesus. No husband, no wife,
no, no more shackles, no more chains.
No job can
no
set you free like Jesus.
I am free.
No level of prestige
yeah.
can set you free like Jesus. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, there is no job on earth. There is no car on earth. There is not a house on earth. There is no love. There is no substitution in the name of Jesus that can set you free. Like the love of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, if you are free in the name of Jesus, say no more shackles,
no more shackles,
hey.
No more chains,
hey.
No more bondage.
Hey.
I am free. Yeah.
Come on, realize no more shackles. Everybody do like this. Like this. No shackles. Come on, throw your hands, man.
No more shackles, no more chains.
Hey.